Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, the 1st of April, a date, an infamous date for our English, our British listeners out there. But very, very serious today because this is Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs show with a panel of invited guests discussing the issues of the day with you for the next 2 hours. If you want to get involved, if something is crossing your radar and you wish to get your viewpoints across, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000, email studio@tre.radio, send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95, message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
We'll go straight to the papers this morning. All of the broadsheets carry photographs of their front, on their front pages, of the French far-right leader Marine Le Pen, who The Guardian describes as furious after she was banned by a court from running to be French president for embezzling EU funds. The Financial Times, which also leads with the story, says her hopes have been shattered by the ruling, which has upended France's political landscape. The looming US tariffs feature on the front pages of The Times and The Daily Telegraph. Times says exemption for the UK goods is considered unlikely, and any fail of negotiations with Washington would be a blow to the Prime Minister. The Telegraph says what? That free speech is a key point of contention between the US and the UK, and quotes what it calls a highly unusual US State Department comment, citing concern about an anti-abortion campaigner who was prosecuted for holding a sign near a clinic in Bournemouth. A source described as being familiar with trade negotiations tells the paper there should be no free trade without free speech. According to the Daily Mail, police have now been told to treat black and white suspects differently on what it calls a new row of a two-tier justice. The Sun says it's uncovered social media accounts from asylum seekers who have travelled to the UK by boat, showing off their quote-unquote taxpayer-funded hotel rooms. It says the one video, with captions in Albanian, showed two men gloating about having large flat-screen TVs. Fasting for part of the week is a more effective way to lose weight than calorie counting every day. That's according to a study in The Telegraph. Noted that the periodic nature of fasting may mitigate the constant hunger of daily calorie reduction. To the front pages we go. Financial Times, Le Pen's presidential hopes shattered by 5-year ban on running for office. Guardian, furious Le Pen rails against ban on running for French presidency. Meanwhile, The Times, Trump's tariffs will hit Britain, admits PM. Meanwhile, The Telegraph, Trump, no free trade without free speech. The paper, Defiant Rainer, tells UK firms, my new rights for workers will help economy. The Sun, yep, taking us for fools, dinghy migrants, free hotel room brag. The Metro, Andrew Accuser, I've 4 days to live. This is Virginia Guffrey in a car accident. She's posted on Instagram that she's got 4 days to live. Gary Glitter is on the front page. Pop pedo bankrupt, Glitter's victim's victory. Meanwhile, the Daily Mail, two-tier police race guide row. And those for, I haven't got the Star today. Let me just see if I can, I will try and find the Daily Star headline at some point. With a heat wave hitting Britain, I would imagine that it's on the front page of it. Daily Star. No, hang on a second. After the spoils, Living Nostradamus says Donald Trump's moment of truth is coming in power prediction. And those are, those are your headlines on this Tuesday, the 1st of April, joined live in the studio by Tim Stafford. Morning to you, Tim.
Good morning, Giles.
And also by Dr. Jerry Hagan. Morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Giles.
And live on the line from London, ladies and gentlemen, the Woke Finder General, Rex Leyland. Morning to you, Rex.
Good morning, Giles, and good morning, Spain.
Ah, yes.
How are you all?
Well, obviously not as full as beans as you are on this April morning. You sound in top form, Rex.
Well, the sun is shining yet again in London. We've had the most unbelievable March weather, and all of this week it's going to be glorious. Temperatures in the early 20s.
Yes, I saw that on the weather report this morning, and I suppose old Father Thames is looking particularly splendid from the boat.
Splendid. I can't tell you. Even on a par of San Pedro. With some Pedro de Alcantara.
Right then. Well then, as the saying goes, follow that. So, looking at the front pages of the papers this morning, a mixed bag, but obviously the main story seems to be the banning of Le Pen for 5 years. Rex, what is your take on Marie Le Pen being barred from running for 5 years because of embezzlement?
Well, I watched all the bulletins last night, and there was a sort of a mixed bag of reportage in that some people were saying that the expenses were not really embezzled, and there was a sort of a little cloudiness about everything. Also, they interviewed a political observer, I think it was on Channel 4, and which was rather nice. He was being interviewed in his car while he was driving around Paris. Very unusual, but made a very different type of interview, as one had a free sightseeing tour of Paris at the same time. But he said that basically what has happened is sort of common behaviour within the politicians, that they can sort of manoeuvre the EU funds around to suit themselves. Now, as what's his name, Christian, the newscaster said, well, is it one rule for all, or what? I mean, the interpretation seems to be the area of doubt, and whether or not one politician should be allowed to get away with it whilst other politicians have, I think that is the really contentious part of this. And lastly, one thought years ago about her father and how right-wing and what a nasty piece of work he was, and yet she's done rather well in sort of tempering everything down and making it much more appealing, whilst her efforts, of course, now go fall by the wayside, leaving it to her rather energetic sidekick, who they reckon will have a very good chance of getting in.
It's just, I mean, Philippe Sands, the well-known human rights lawyer, said, quote unquote, she will claim she's a victim, just as Trump did, just as Hitler did. And there may be talk of a conspiracy, gagging free speech, etc., etc. The panel that I can see, I'll come to you in a minute, Rex. What are your thoughts? Tim, you can kick this one off.
Yes, I think that, you know, she will almost certainly, or they will, sort of use the word such as a witch hunt, or as Rex has quite wisely said, you know, there's one rule for some and another for others, and but I don't think that sort of protectionism among the French, which is endemic, will go away regardless of leadership, in spite of the fact that she has the name that goes with this movement, as it were. And, you know, there will be others who come and hold up that French cultural protection that they maintain.
Jerry, have you got any thoughts on this particular one?
I just think when... What's the thing about absolute corrupting absolutely? That people in power begin to think that the rules don't apply to them, and Marie Le Pen's not the only one that applies to. And actually, it made my day when I heard she was barred. So, you can see the way I think about things.
Some of the people coming in have been saying that, well, Le Pen herself has said, she said, "I'm a fighter. I'm not going to let myself be eliminated. I will pursue every avenue of appeal that I can. I have fought for the French people for 30 years, and I will keep doing so all the way."
I mean, there is a history in France of politicians eventually come to bad terms in court, and they do tend to chase up unwanted political activity, shall I put it politely, and punish people later on. It can take years to catch up. But it wasn't just Marie Le Pen, it was about 40 of her party were all prosecuted and found guilty. So they must have thought, oh, we'll just take these EU funds and we'll use them for one party use and nobody else would say anything. And, well, we'll have now.
If you want to get involved with this morning's show, let's go to the WhatsApp, +34 645 9967 95. There's no doubt here she's been proven to have missed the funds. There's not a problem with the microphone. It is Rex is on his boat on the Thames. That's the Thames lapping gently against the side of the good ship. The good ship woke finder general, as the saying goes. Exactly. Michael's written this. Hundreds of MEPs and ex-MEPs across the EU will be thinking of the Le Pen tonight. Yesterday night, excuse me. There, but for the grace of God. Any half-decent political journalist knows that parties across the EU, including the UK, have been misusing Europarti money for decades for domestic party purposes. So it seems that it's not just it's the 13th commandment, isn't it, Rex? Thou shall not be found out.
It seems to be the norm. Listening to everybody last night, the behaviour is the norm, but it happened to be against the law. And belatedly, you know, everyone's been rumbled, so to speak. It's very unfortunate, but the law is the law. And whether you agree or disagree, I do believe that it would be only fair if others were ensnared, so to speak, under this abuse of funds.
I don't think, I'm not contradicting you, but I don't think a defence saying, but everybody else is doing it, is actually a valid defence. You're guilty or not guilty, depending on the law. And that was a law broken. The fact that other people are doing it is neither here nor there in her case, but maybe they should be chased up too.
I think if you look at across the sort of democratic spectrum, you see all politicians, all parties, let's say, who are availing themselves of the funds, and not just the sort of slush funds of the EU in this case, but of oligarchs in other places and of very rich people in some others. And now these are all great contributions to party funds, which are multiply used. And it's kind of it's not quite criminal. It's just par for the course, unfortunately.
You're right there, Rex. We just said that we heard a tinkling. Was that your morning martini falling over the back?
No, it was just stretching a bottle which had fallen.
Yes. Rightly. A vast behind, as they say.
It's far too early. The politician that was interviewed, he admitted doing the same thing as she had done.
Right. But as Jerry said, I mean that's you know, I was only putting my hands in the gravy train because everybody else was. It's hardly
exactly,
it's,
you know. and probably it as a result of all of this, it's probably made a mockery somewhat of French law.
These coming in saying, this is in from P, who says the Kremlin has issued a statement regarding the news that Marine Le Pen has been banned from running for president in 2027, calling it a violation. This is the Kremlin say it's a violation of democratic norms.
I don't think that's fair.
Right. Well, this also goes, when Viktor Orban and the Kremlin criticise your judicial system, you know you're doing something right.
Yes. Precisely.
Now, some go so to the WhatsApps again. Conspiracy of the day. Okay. Okay, conspiracy of the day. School bus travelling at 111 kilometres an hour hits Virginia Guthrie. This is, of course, the Prince Andrew accuser. The conspiracy people will say another hit by the royals. Thank you. Paul, morning to you, Paul. For those poor right-wing leaders proclaiming Le Pen is a victim, she was found guilty of being at the centre of embezzling 2.9 million euros worth of European funds. That's taxpayers' money. If you're defending her, you're defending criminality. She's not the first and won't be the last. There needs to be a tightening of the rules. This one also in. There's no doubt she's been proven to misuse the funds. She'll go down every avenue using taxpayers' money to fight the state. She got skittled by a law she helped create. So we have that. We've already got some people saying that this one in Le Pen gets busted for fraud, and MAGA's response is to compare France to North Korea. You really hate seeing your heroes face consequences. Somebody said it's time to cut off all ties with Macron and France. They're no different from North Korea now. We seem to have this this whole thing, and we'll twist it a little bit, panel, if that's okay with you, because this has turned into a free speech argument once again. No free trade without free speech, of course, which is what the President of the United States has been saying, or a member
of... No free trade without tariffs.
Indeed. Well, there you go. So Boston Tea Party all over again, Rex. Your thoughts?
You bet.
Go on, then. Off you go.
What? Are you referring to the gentleman in the White House?
Yes, indeed. Well spotted, yes.
I'm not sure I would use the word gentleman, though. That's the only problem.
Right.
I've got to obviously be very careful on air.
Well, that's the word.
I think there's a three-letter word beginning with O and ending with F, which I think more suits his description.
Oof, as the French would say. Or an oof. I know that's five, but anyway.
So, as we're talking French.
Yes, indeed. An oof is an oof, as the saying goes. You're right.
Exactly.
So go on then. So let's twist it then, because I've actually... very good. Le Pen is not mightier than the sword of truth. Very good
very
indeed.
Good.
Very good indeed.
That's good.
That's very good. Right then. So what we have here is we've got the poll. It's not the poll of polls, because whatever. The poll on the Facebook group, which is Talk Radio Europe Official. I am asking the following question. Do you think the introduction of US tariffs will have a negative effect on the global economy? We have the poll running. Thus far... yes, 100%. No. Well, guess what? If we've got 100%, then the other two are 0%.
If you had any other one, so I'd be suspicious.
Yes, indeed. So, go on, Rex, as you are on the water. What's your views? What's happening over the pond? And what are your views on the time?
Well, I think it's a disaster. I think I once discussed with you recently, Giles, that I do try to keep out of American politics because I find it oppressive, difficult to understand, and really, it's just complicated all the time, their electoral system and so on and so on. But the people have voted this person back into office. This person has become highly intoxicated with his own imperial self. He is emulating other leaders, one of which, of course, is his main source of publicity, Mr. Putin. And his actions are probably rather undemocratic, but even by American standards. And my concern is that how long will it take for the average American person to wake up and realize that Trump is annihilating trade, business, and sacking all his own people, retaining people to advise him who may not be that qualified, and then the shocking results, looking at the S&P crashed, FTSE, yesterday crashed. Japan had the largest crash yesterday. So if this is what Trump is trying to achieve in his short tenure, then I am as intoxicated as he is. But one will have to wait and see whether or not his endeavours come true. One more thing about Trump, and I'll close it. On his first tenure, he was probably one of the only politicians that I can recall who ever achieved everything he set out in the first 100 days. He set out a list to do what he wanted to do in 100 days. He did it. This time, he's done the same, but in a more exaggerated manner and in an imperious manner. And we all know what happens to great dictators. They eventually fall, although we're still waiting on two in this world, both on the other side, who have not yet fallen. That's it.
Tim.
Yes, I think plays into this tariffs and free speech combination that Trump seems to have this idea that we, the Europeans and other nations, are in some way repressing our people, that we're not ancient civilizations. We are simply sort of add-ons to the world that don't count for anything at all. And, you know, to start bribery along the lines of, you know, free speech and tariffs is ridiculous. But also, with imminent tariffs, which are by no means certain, he's talking about doubling the Chinese tariff in the last 2 days, he mentioned that. Markets don't like the uncertainties, and they thrive on confidence, obviously. And the consequence of his potential doubling is that those cash-rich rich companies who need resources from China of whatever kind are stockpiling. So there's sudden, before the tariffs take effect, there's sudden changes in manufacturing and supply. And it's a very complex situation, but I can't see how he alone can influence the world's free speech and the world's ability to move around various goods and provisions. It doesn't bode well for the USA in the long run, I don't think.
I mean, we have this thing with, the China, Japan and South Korea have now agreed jointly to respond to any what they say is US economic aggression. That's going to have a major impact as well, panel.
Yeah, reflecting back on Trump's Scottish mother, who said he's got flaws in his character, but especially he should never go into politics, he'd be a disaster. And I agree with his mum. But he got into politics, and it is a disaster. If you put tariffs up, you're affecting the whole globe, not just your local Americans. I know what he's trying to do. He had a big blue collar vote from the Rust Belt. They saw their industries, they used to thrive, their towns going down, like some Bruce Springsteen song. And he's trying to make it easy for them to try to do it. But, I mean, for example, if he bans imports of steel, there's no way America could be making enough of its own steel by the time his presidency comes to an end. They just don't have the resources to do that. So he's going to have to import steel, which means that everything made of steel will be more expensive. the thing about free speech, that gets to me, because this is about an abortion clinic in Bournemouth, because people aren't allowed to go near it or whatever. And that's what that was about. No free trade without free speech. This is a country where he's clamping down on scientists who are working anything from gender research to COVID. They're all been chucked out. A recent survey last week for American scientists is the majority want to leave America and go to Canada or Europe. This is a guy who's... you talk about free speech with one hand, and then you're denying it in your own country at the same time.
9527840000 Rex, you were just saying something there, just briefly.
No, I just said that it's the specialist steel. It's not the ordinary pig iron type common steel. It's the specialist stuff that which we do. They showed that on the news last night. Already It's something to do with cooling off. We produce steel that is used to help another process in cooling off.
Right.
And, you know, it's not just a sweeping steel situation. It is specialist steel. But we are small fry compared to other countries with their exports to the US. I mean, everybody in California are going to be crying because they can't get their Range Rovers. Whoa. And their convertible Bentleys, you know.
Well, one of the things is the fact that, I mean, a lot of the only things that's going to benefit from this is going to be Tesla, because I think they make an awful lot of American cars. But however, they've had a problem because of the original purchasers of those cars were sort of Californian type liberal who wanted to save the planet, and of course they now are flocking away from Tesla.
Tesla sales are down 40% in Europe compared to last year. But isn't Tesla cars actually made in China? So aren't they importing it anyway?
Well, I mean, Trump says the auto tariffs of 25% will be permanent for the rest of my term. Tariffs are going to make people buy American cars. Who's going to tell them that the American-built cars also use foreign-made components? Tim, you're looking sagely at me, or is that just
goodness me. Well, no, it's not going to be refrigerators. We don't want American cars. We never have. And because they're not very well made and they're completely inefficient in every single way. And the panel gaps.
Nick's just come in saying Trump announced this tariff on all cars and not made in the US. So now it's a bad time to buy a car, a bad time to buy a house, a bad time to buy groceries, a bad time to find a job, and a bad time to go to school. America is back.
But things we do buy are things like aircraft, arms. You know, those things which are very, very expensive and are a factor. But as far as consumable sort of stuff in your house, you're not going to... What sort of American stuff have you got? You might have an iPhone, I suppose. And the Chinese can easily make copy iPhones. No problem. And they do. So are they shooting themselves in the foot? Yes, it could be argued that they are.
I think for the rest of us, the ongoing ramification of Trump's behaviour is, at the moment, it appears, may not be actual, that the Five Eyes have been broken up.
The Five Eyes?
Yes.
Yeah,
Canada, yeah.
Canada, US,
yeah.
New Zealand, Australia, ourselves, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I consider the biggest fallout over his behaviour.
Right, we'll come on to that in a minute. I'm going to hit a small break, and then we'll come back with more Viewpoints.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
And thanks to our sponsors, St. James Global Private Clients, a specialist in providing and protecting and preserving global wealth with over 40 years' experience, helping clients enjoy their retirement and lifestyle. For experts, financial advice for Spanish tax residents and to maximise retirement and income, contact St. James Global Private Clients at info@stjamesglobal.com. St. James Global, protecting your assets and growing your wealth. If you want to get your viewpoint across, these are the numbers.
To contact the RE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And it's live to the lines we go. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. Peter.
Morning, Peter. How are you doing? Peter? That's interesting. Okay, fine. Rex, are you there?
I am here and can hear everything much better, Giles.
All right, thank you very much. Good to have you. Good to have you back, indeed. For some reason, Peter cut out there. I should get our experts on this one. This in from Peter the Happy Socialist from Iznacha. So, on free speech and the US, have you seen how many people are being silenced by being removed from town hall meetings in the US? Also, no reporting on the anti-Trump protests anywhere. Let me just see if this is... Let me just try this. and see if this is waiting, this is happening. A morning call, you're live on TRE.
Morning,
right,
morning, Giles.
Yeah, got you now, Peter.
Got me, okay,
just quickly,
great.
Rex, can you hear Peter?
Yes, I can.
Right, thank you. Okay, Peter, the floor is yours.
Okay, tariffs. One of your guests just said that we don't have many American goods here in Europe or outside of America. That's because of tariffs. Everything's expensive to buy. And the talk of the cars being no good in America, I think you're harping back to the war, I think, because I drive a Ford Ranger, which is a fantastic car, made in Germany, but it's not half the car as the F-150 made in America, which is a lot cheaper. And the reason they're not here is because of tariffs. So ever since World War II, the whole idea of Europe getting back on its feet and rebuilding was tariffs on American goods so that America wouldn't flood Europe with their goods. And those tariffs have been in place ever since. So Trump is not doing anything that the rest of the world hasn't been doing for many, many years. And everything's reciprocal, as he said. And he's only threatening or imposing tariffs on people who do it to America. So what is the problem with that?
I wasn't aware of the leftover tariffs from World War II.
Ever since World War II, after World War II, so Germany could rebuild and Europe could rebuild, they put tariffs on American goods. And they've been there ever since. The reason we don't buy American products is because of the tariffs. There's massive tariffs on the American cars. That's why we don't see American cars in Europe. And they're very well-built cars.
Well, you've obviously realized this and educated us accordingly, but perhaps you should share this knowledge with everybody because we are ignorant to it.
Well, so let's put
what
it
you say, if it's true, then it makes sense of everything.
Of course it's true. He said it's reciprocal. He has not imposed a single tariff or threatened a single tariff on any country that doesn't have tariffs on America. And for tariffs, people keep saying the economy's tanking. Someone said the stock market's crashed. First of all, the stock market is not crashed. It's overpriced anyway. And it's not the job of governments to keep the stock market high for a lot of wealthy individuals.
Yeah, to keep people in employment is a job of governments.
But if you impose tariffs, let's put it this way. If you impose tariffs in America, right, and you force people to, or not force, people that have the choice, if what you're going to do is you're going to bring all those factories back to America, you're going to create jobs, right? You're going to get rid of all the illegal immigrants. People say that will create inflation, tariffs will create inflation. He's getting rid of the corruption, the waste in government. Many of those people are leaving those government jobs. They will go on to the workforce looking for jobs, which then there will be an oversupply of people for an undersupply of jobs. That will bring down inflation. We will not know how these tariffs work for a very long time. But I would say, I would guess, my hypotheses would be that we would all be better off. And also, what people don't seem to be looking at, and I'll give you an example here, all these anti-Trumpers, they tend to be the climate people as well. Without tariffs, when you bring everything home, if you're talking about steel earlier, now what happens is you mine for aluminium, you have that in powder, that's maybe in, say, Michigan, that goes then to Pennsylvania, where it's made into rods. Those rods are then shipped to Canada, and in Canada, those rods are polished and shaped, which then they're shaped back in shipped back to America, where they're then manufactured into pistons and piston rods and cylinder heads for cars. Now, this happens on many, many things. It's moving around all the time. I can remember a farmer in Hampshire once said that his potatoes in his field were picked by him, a company picked them up. They were taken to Poland where they're washed, peeled and bagged. They were sent to Scotland where they were distributed to Tesco's. And his potatoes ended up in a Tesco shop 10 minutes from his farm, having travelled halfway around the world.
Right.
Now, if you take all these tariffs away, everybody's then going to bring everything home and do everything at home. And it's not going to get shipped. So all these diesel motors going, ships going across the sea, out to China and back, distributing this to that. all these tariffs have ever been put there so that you can then sell the jobs to third world countries, i.e. that's why China became so powerful, because Obama and everybody sold out the globalists. So we need to go back. And just before I finish, the two most successful countries probably in a generation, and I don't think too many of you could disagree, would be Singapore and South Korea. Would you agree with that? Very successful countries. Now, the reason they're so successful is because they limit imports. They export everything, especially South Korea, Hong Kong, we all know it, Singapore. Look at South Korea. Look at the washing machines, the TVs, and the cars you're buying from South Korea. All of them made at home, and they don't import hardly anything. That's why they're so successful. So making America great again is by reciprocal tariffs. Now, what you're all forgetting is it could turn around and everybody could lift their tariffs because they're so scared of Trump. He doesn't want tariffs. He wants free trade. So if you're not prepared for free trade, you're going to get tariffs. But if you take the tariffs off and it's reciprocal, then things will start moving and get an awful lot cheaper.
Thanks for your thanks for your call in there, Peter. 952-78-4000.
Right. When's Peter leaving for America?
Yeah, well, no. I mean, he's... Sorry,
I mean,
Gary.
Very eloquently put, Peter's dissertation. I thought it was very informative.
Right.
Our taxes is much more complicated than just tariffs. When I worked in America, my colleagues could buy a BMW at significantly less cost than I could in the UK. That was from the EU. Because car tax in the US is far lower than it is in the UK or Europe. Secondly, American cars are not built for olden day European roads. They're far too wide and big. Can't park them anywhere, etc. So there's a lot of reasons why we in UK and Europe don't buy American cars. It's more for the specialist kind of guy who wants something different.
Yes, and maybe automobile manufacturing is not a good example of what's going on here, because car manufacturers have moved around and are sharing the same engines, same platforms. I mean, who knows what is in your car now and made by whom? And the similarities sort of under the skin are there and clear for all to see. Encouraging companies to come in and manufacture within your country, therefore avoiding tariffs, is part of his game. And it's kind of as if he's sort of saying, well, OK, we're not going to apply corporation tax to the same extent on you as we do on companies ordinary. It would have the same effect. It's just a way of bringing in a sort of an inward investment. And but I think time will tell, because... I don't think it's ever been tried on this scale ever before.
If you want to get involved with this morning's show...
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
To the poll on the Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official. Do you think US tariffs will have a negative effect on the global economy? Still at 100% yes. So if you want to get your thoughts on that, and some of the WhatsApps that are coming in, looking at, top five American cars. Let's do a look at the top five American cars in the States. At number five, the Chevrolet Silverado 150. At number four, the Tesla Model Y. Number three, the Honda CR-V. At number four, staple of the MAGA crowd, is the Ford F-150 big pickup truck. And at number one, the Toyota RAV4. So there you go, that's the best-selling American car.
If I were in marketing, I would think this would be a huge opportunity because you could market your Range Rover or BMW as reassuringly expensive kind of thing. Mm. And that means that Americans who where money's not an object would buy European cars because people buying American cars are people without much money. And it devalues the American car.
Yeah, and driving an F-150 along a country lane in Sussex doesn't sound like fun to me.
Or trying to get up through the streets of Iznacha, which you were mentioning, which are... You take most of Iznacha with you, I think, on the way through.
I went to an American car on a Scottish Highland road. one single path.
Looking at some of the comments coming in, I wouldn't be surprised if Le Pen, going back to the first one, comes back if the appellate process works in her favour. Otherwise, Zemmour or Marion Maréchal of Identity Libertaire, who is part of the Le Pen family, might be in the running. Trump didn't do anything in the first 100 days of his press residency. He failed to repeal and replace Obamacare. He failed to have a border wall paid for by Mexico. He didn't bring all the US troops home. He didn't ban all Muslims. He didn't remove China as a currency manipulator. He didn't deport all illegal migrants. He didn't resolve national debt. In fact, he worsened it. The Ford F50 apparently has F-150 has 65% of its components made outside the US. Californians can get their Range Rovers. It's just more expensive. And what's another $50,000 to a tech bro? To the lines we go. Morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Charles. It's Alf.
Morning, Alf.
Morning, Tim. Morning, Jerry. And
hi, Alf.
I'm loving the slopping sound coming from Rex.
That's Rex Bailey.
Good morning, Alf. Happy New Year, Alf.
On the 1st of April.
We haven't spoken since last year.
Right, let the bromance begin. Right, Alf.
I was just going to comment on some of this stuff with Trump. I mean, people have such short memories. I can recall, not that many years ago, a massive exercise in the UK by British. And that was it was by Europe, then it was by Japanese, all because people were frightened about whatever it was. And quite rightly, you know, people say, you don't see that many American cars in Europe because they are massive. I remember a couple of years ago, I bought another car, and I was going out to look for a Ford Cougar. Many other cars were available, but I fancied a Ford Cougar, mainly because you step up into it and not sit down in it. So it does my knees good. But when I was looking around all the shops, they were saying, oh, this is the latest one. I forget what it is. Series 5, I think it's called. It is a Series 5, blah, blah. They show you all the cars. And I'm saying, that's too big. That's too big for Spanish roads, let alone anywhere else. You talk about, you know, the narrow roads in Scotland and wherever. So I ended up buying a Series 4, the next one down, which was the last of the Europeans. So Ford's in Europe stopped building a European Cougar because they were selling the Cougar to the American market, so they had to make it bigger. And we're not talking about massively bigger, but it is bigger, it's wider, it's longer, it's higher. Which for me is, I'm not used to driving things that big, and I know you see all these people driving around in their whacking great big Range Rovers. Usually we end up saying, why are they driving a car? That's too big for them. So there is an issue about what happens in Europe. So why did Ford stop building the Cougar, which was a big seller in Europe, all of a sudden stop because they're looking at the American market? I have no idea, because it's Ford Europe we're talking about. And the same applies to us. Everybody keeps talking about this, Rex was talking, this special steel that they make in the UK. Yes, there is a special steel that they make in the UK, and for Trump or the Americans to replace it would take them, I think it was between 10 and 15 years, because they'd have to build a new plant to do it. So say, yeah, we do have. And they go, so you can have our special steel. And all Trump's going to say is, okay, you put tariffs on it, but for every one of them we buy from you, you're going to buy this from us. And I think everybody does miss the point, and Peter was quite right. There isn't much that's made, you know, large size wide-ish. There isn't that much that's made in the world that doesn't go through three or four different countries in its manufacturing process. I can't recall there ever being, or not for many, many years, a British car. Well, no, there is. There's the Japanese-British cars. But most of the components for the cars aren't made in the UK. They're shipped in from Italy, from Germany. The tractors, you know, the second biggest tractor plant I covered in the UK, Case New Holland, most of its components, because they were owned by an Italian conglomerate, most of the components for the tractors came from Italy, never came from the UK. The UK was just an assembly line. You know, I don't even think they pressed their bodies. The Ford Dagenham body press was pressing bodies for the Mini after they'd sold it to whoever it was. Whoever, who did they sell the Mini to? Somebody.
BMW, I think it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody's trying to ring me now. They must be interested in what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Right, okay. Then. International conglomerate.
Right, indeed. Okay, we'll let you get that one and come back to us in a bit, Alf, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, then. Going to a quick break and then back for the will be the last 3 minutes of this the first half of this morning's Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively, joined in the studio by Tim Stafford, Dr. Joe Hagan, and from the banks of the Thames by Rex Leyland. To the WhatsApps we go if you want to get your viewpoint across.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
The most protectionist bloc in the world is the EU, particularly when it comes to crops coming from Africa. That's Paul in Minerva. You could fit a bus in that gap. Yes, we press the button, nothing happens, but thank you for your technical input. Meanwhile, what have we got here? Looking at the South Korea hardly imports anything, exports $683.7 billion, imports $632.1 billion, that's from 2024. And the US cars are not here because they don't fit on the roads. We're turning to an episode of Top Gear here, if we're not careful.
Start behaving like
them. Start behaving like
more
them. That would be a thought and a half. Just a quick thank you to the sponsors, St. James Global Private Clients, for expert financial advice to Spanish tax residents and to maximise retirement income. Contact St. James Global Private Clients at info@stjamesglobal.com. St. James Global, protecting your assets and growing your wealth. We're coming up to the news at the top of the hour, both the national and international news, and then we're going to be back for more Viewpoint. 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio at tre.radio is the email, the Facebook page is Talk Radio Professional. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. In the second half of the show, we might touch on the subjects of immigration with an immigration summit happening over the past week. We could also look at JD Vance's visit to Greenland, his short stop over there, and is it a good idea to get involved with a group chat? That's all going to be coming up in the second half of Viewpoint, but next is the national and international news. I'll see you after the break.
Talk Radio Europe.
Your
voice in Spain.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
And welcome back to second half of Viewpoint. With you for the next 50 minutes or so, if you want to get involved with today's show.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And joined in the studio by Tim Stafford, Dr. Jerry Hagan, and live from the beautiful banks of the Thames by our woke finder general, Rex Sladen. And to the poll we go, asking the question on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official. Do you think the US tariffs will have a negative effect on the global economy? Still 100% of you think yes, it will. So not a lot of grey area there indeed. 952-78-4000 is the phone number, the WhatsApp, +34 645 99 67 95. Just looking at some of the other comments coming in since we've been away. Paul asked the question, is Rex splicing the main brace? Are you splicing the main brace, Rex?
No, I have a, well, I have a rule of life that unless you're travelling, you should not imbibe before 1 p.m.
In which time zone, Rex?
And, no, unless you're travelling. In your own time, obviously your own time zone. So when people say good morning, or I say to everybody, good morning, they say, no, it's the afternoon. And I say, well, I haven't had a drink yet.
Ah, indeed, indeed. And talking of which, good morning. Good morning to the captain, Jamie, down in Southern Grande. Ah, indeed.
Rex, you'll have to put torpedo tubes and gun turrets on there if this stuff carries on, you know.
Well, it was, the vessel was actually originally constructed as an ammunition lighter between the wars. And the it's made of solid riveted steel. Wow. In Doncaster, may I add. How they got the vessel from Doncaster to the water, somebody once pointed out to me, in those days would have been interesting. However, she was retired into the Portsmouth Royal Naval Museum dockyard, found its way up here to Brentford, where it was kitted out in 97 as a houseboat with the superstructure on top of the lighter. So it probably has seen a bit of action.
As indeed,
still got its Royal Naval.
Sorry,
still got its Royal Naval numbers on it.
And it still sees action with you on it, I imagine. I don't know.
Yes, indeed.
Well, it does.
I imagine the action that most of our panel have seen is would be classified and not to be released for at least 50 years, right?
No, we're terribly, terribly innocent. Yes, terribly innocent indeed. Aboard this vessel.
Indeed you are. Right, then let's look at some of the events over the past week. Also, it might have escaped your attention, but J.D. Vance played a flying visit to Greenland. Rex, ever been to Greenland?
No, I haven't. Have been to Denmark. I'm very, very pro-Danish. I'm very fond of the Danes. Whether or not one can accuse the Danes of being bad colonialists is another story. I would never refer to the Danes as colonialists, but probably they still are, in inverted commas or brackets. But they don't interfere with Greenland. And I think it was very arrogant of Trump to state what he stated and behave in the way he's behaving towards Denmark and Greenland. And I think for the Earth number two to visit was only stoking the fire unnecessarily.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, the J.D. Vance said that Denmark wasn't a particularly good ally, quote-unquote. And if you look at it per capita, apart from the United States, 63 Danish servicemen and Danish servicewomen have lost their lives in Afghanistan and Iran, which is
right.
The U.S. notwithstanding is the highest per capita of any nation. So yeah, go on. Sorry, Rex.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, it's not as if the Americans aren't already there. They said last night they the base used to be enormous, 25, 30, or during the Cold War.
and they scaled it down, but they could always build it back up again, and no one's going to be affected by that. In fact, they would be probably they'd be rather grateful. So to talk about taking it over is so immature.
They've got huge underground structures. They were called a scientific base, but they're all military. They're not used anymore, but they could be reused. Going back in history, though, the Danes were pretty colonialists. They drove the Saxons and the Celts out of the
Dane lore,
east of
cetera,
England.
Yeah.
Yeah, any town ending with BY is Danish.
Really?
Yes, and I understand there was a referendum, and dreadful things that they are, in Greenland, and the population of 50, 60,000, whatever they are, voted to remain as they are.
I think it's 60,000 because, of course, we, both you and I, Tim, know...
We know some
Greenlandic, some Inuits, and we are sitting at a dinner table with six Inuits, but that's a story and a half, and we reckon that we had 0.0.1 of the Greenlandish population sitting at the dinner table, so...
And a fine body of people they are.
They're indeed, and good morning to you.
Are they called Greenlanders?
Well, they're Inuit, aren't they? They're Inuit.
But are they all? They're not all Inuit, though, are they?
No, they're not all Inuit. There are some Danish there as well.
Yeah. They're all in it together.
They're all in it.
Yeah. I knew that joke was coming at some point.
I would splice the mind break. But the thing is, one of the problems was that this wasn't an official visit, was it?
He didn't actually go to Greenland. He went to an American base that's in Greenland. He wasn't allowed to go outside, so he only flew into the American base and back out again.
But the original thing was the spouse, the wife of J.D. Vance was going to attend the biggest dog
sled. Dog sled.
And they had to uninvite, or they had to sort of reschedule because you can't. Yeah, anyway, it sort of upset the apple cart, didn't it, amongst Europeans, especially the Danes. Once again,
another example of an illegal immigrant.
Right then. According to the census, thank you very much, 2023, there are 56,865 Greenlanders. So there you go. Things you didn't know, but you didn't need to know, sort of. With this whole thing, I mean, once again, we have Trump saying he wanted to have Greenland. We're going to take the Panama Canal back. Is it dead cat theory on a massive scale at this point? Do we think, panel Tim?
Well, I think Palestine, Panama Canal, Canada, Greenland. All these sort of extended, ridiculous pontifications from Donald Trump. And I'm not anti-Trump. I agree with a lot of the policy that he's come up with. But it's mildly insulting, but it's also deliberately provocative, in my opinion, to get some stirred-up action. As for Vance and spouse going there, I mean... Yes, they can be deported. They quite easily
deported. Deported, right? Fair enough.
Well, the thing about Greenland, from a military point of view, it makes sense for the US to want to be there. It goes right up to the Arctic Circle, very close to Russia, and which is kind of similar to Cuba and Kennedy, etc. Like. Putting nuclear bombs on America's doorstep. I don't think Putin would be very happy if that happened. And the discussions between Putin and Trump seem to be where Putin wins hands down all the time. Trump's getting nowhere with him.
Well, he said the other day that he wasn't very happy with it. But just quickly on Greenland, I mean, you can have US bases. You know, they've got no problem with the US bases, but to say that they need to take Greenland out, you know, they need and helping support the self-determination of the Greenlanders. Thank you very much. We now know that's what they're called. Whilst at the same time, if you look at, I don't know, the Ukrainian people, for example, want to have their own sovereign nation, and that they don't to be helping that one. And if you were to go to Gaza, what little less standing. thing. I'm sure that the majority of the Gazaians would say, you know, well, we want to have our own. I mean, we don't want to go down that particular rabbit hole. But you see, exactly.
But what about all those wonderful elements under the snow that everybody wants to get their hands on?
Exactly, it's the mineral. It's the minerals again, isn't it? It is diplomacy by trade deal or by mineral grab or by oil grab, which is causing consternation against some of the more traditional, shall we say?
Do you think, Giles, that Mr. Trump should take back the Panama Canal? And does the panel think the same, like with Greenland?
Well, the last time I was really seriously looking at Panama was obviously when Noriega was booted out, and that's like 30 years ago now, if even longer. So it's a significant obviously trade channel, but you can't go in there and say, okay, well, we're the Americans and we're going to take it back because we built it, because then it's going to, I mean, well, who's to say that we, you know, don't start tit for tat, and who's to say that Trump might say, well, I'm not going to let any Chinese vessels through there or whatever else.
Yep. Good point.
The history of the Suez Canal doesn't bode well for the Panama Canal.
Yeah. I would rather have the USA being the arbiters of who's passing through the Panama Canal than the Chinese. I think it costs about $1 million per military ship going through that the Panama Canal.
Right.
On each occasion. So it's a costly affair. Not in the scheme of their military spending, but in control terms, I think it's better that the US has its greater mobility with military or strategic weaponry and so on.
952-78-4000. On Greenland, have you seen the rubbish left behind at the US bases? Denmark has had to clean up the hazard waste there. So that's coming in from Peter from Iznaka. 952-78-4000. To the poll we go to see if there's been any movement on the thought. What we're asking on the poll on Talk Radio Europe Official is, do you think that US tariffs will affect the global economy, a negative effect on the global economy? Still 100% of you think that, yes, it will. So not a lot of grey area there. 952-78-4000. Jerry, yes.
Shall I put in a don't know? Just change the stats a bit.
If you go on to the... You are more than welcome. But follow. This is on, obviously, on Talk Radio Europe, which is the official Facebook page. Just to let you know, by the way, what's happening today on TRE on this 1st of April. Following me, Stephen Ritson. I mean, you can just argue that there are no April Fool's jokes today because, hey, it's Viewpoint. Selena will hopefully be back. I haven't heard anything to the contrary at the moment. She's had a problem with her voice. She'll be talking to John Stock about a very British medical scandal about the sleep room. Also, Linda Trinh will be with us, talking about a Vietnamese memoir. Hannah joins us for TRE in the afternoon. She'll be speaking to Dr. Alicia Lamborghini West, which is a superb name. Absolutely. She's talking about managing alcohol. Then at the Rex.
Not steering the car.
Thank you, Rex. Yard arm is beckoning as I speak. Meanwhile, Sophia Rosenfeld will be chatting about the age of choice, a history of freedom in modern life, and she will be at 5:45. Hannah talks to Matt Yuki about the miraculous survival of 4 indigenous children who were found alive in the Colombian Amazon 40 days after the light aircraft they'd been travelling crashed into the deep jungle. Howard Brereton will be reporting from deepest, darkest Nerja with Spain today before this show is repeated at
6 o'clock.
Thank you very... No, it was 7 o'clock, actually. Right?
7 o'clock, sorry.
Thank you very much. Sorry, no, my flashing light just come on to say somebody's phoning me, but I've got a ghost caller, which probably is the best. Oh, here we go. And they've come live now. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE.
Morning again, Giles, yourself.
Yeah.
I do apologise about that earlier.
Fine.
one of my urbanisation colleagues, as usual we are, having a discussion with the president about why he's taking all our money from us.
Well,
and
you
not
see,
doing
there you go. We've still got presidential elections, but nothing gets into the almost Plantagenet-like backstabbing that goes on in an
urbanisation. Urbanisation.
The answer's tariffs.
You're going to put tariffs on anything coming into the urbanisation.
In the world.
Yes, indeed. Yes, Alf, you have the floor. Sorry, Alf, you have the floor.
Pardon?
Yes, sorry, it's all right. We just went quiet for a minute then. Alf.
Oh, right.
What's your viewpoint, please?
I was going to ask you if you was doing anything this afternoon, like wing fencing.
Right, okay. What is your viewpoint, please, Alf?
So you're not going to talk about wing fencing?
I'm not going to talk about wing fencing. Now, let's continue, please.
Well, I'll tell you the one good thing about what's happened with all this Trump stuff is that it's taken a lot of the spotlight away from what is happening in the UK, in politics in the UK, which I think is going a bit bizarre. It's I'm sure Rick sees it much more often than what I get from the television and what I talk to my friends, but it seems to have gone into a real strange hiatus that the Tories aren't prepared enough to have a go at Labour. Respect are not professionally capable of joining in yet. The SNP are licking their wounds and looking after themselves, and which leaves effectively Labour, and this is always the danger, and the danger of it happening before, is that Labour could end up imploding, because you'll end up with the backbenchers then starting to try to run what the government are doing, and there's a real danger of that, because British politics has now gone into this almost vacuous state. I mean, you can argue about the finances and all that, but the only answer you ever get is, oh, well, the Tories left us in this mess, and the Tories are there going, oh, yeah, but you could have made better choices in the future, and then Labour says, well, what choices would you have made, the ones that you made before that got us into the mess in the first place, when they were doing it with Rachel Reeves in a spring statement, and, you know, quite clearly, their response is nothing. And I'm not knocking Kerry Badenoch, and I never knock anybody who puts themselves forward to the... It's a hard job being in the front, I mean, which is why I always said I was always the kingmaker, not the king, because you have to trample on so many of your friends and you have to do so many horrible things to people you trust and love in order to move forward. And I was never into that. I was always the backroom person, the organiser, the person who, you know, got teams together and collected votes and stuff like that. And I just find it all very vacuous.
Yeah.
Sorry?
I said the puppeteer.
The puppeteer, yes.
No, I wasn't a puppeteer, not at all. Rex, that's the wrong word. Puppeteer.
Oh, all right. Manipulator.
No, I was the kingmaker. I was the organiser.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody.
Well, I didn't choose
who was going to be the leader of the Labour Party. But when a system sets up and it says we're going to do this, like, I mean, I'd never voted for Neil Kinnock before, but when the system says in order to save the Labour Party from itself, we need to elect a left wing leader, then I was part of the organisation that got Kinnock elected as leader of the Labour Party. And the same again, you know, Blair wasn't, people forget this, John Smith was the leader of the Labour Party,
right,
who came naturally. Nobody had to organise things around John Smith, it was just a natural thing. But there was a massive organisation around getting rid of Michael Foot, and lots of issues. And Callaghan, when he was there, I was a trade union, I'd say a leader, and our job was to, you know, let's make sure that the Labour Party delivers for working people. What did we do? We elected Thatcher for everybody. How wonderful was that, that the union movement did? And that's what we're seeing at the moment, is the unions at the moment are sitting on the side, other than the occasional pop-up in the air and there's a little spat about something. There seems to be no real drive, passion, leadership from anybody in Britain politically. It's vacuous.
So Alf, you think that Sir Keir is not looking after the working people?
No. You always do that, Rex. Don't put words into my mouth that are silly. Of course he's doing his best, but what isn't there is a real opposition that challenges why they're doing what they're doing. And that's what you need in... If you're dealing with a democracy, not only do you need the people who are saying, we're going to make the... These are the changes that we think should happen in the country. You need an opposition that challenges and questions why you're doing it the way you're doing it. Because there's never, ever one solution to a problem. The solution to Britain's economic problems isn't going to be, we will do this one thing and it will all happen overnight. So there is no challenge to what... So, you know, they get out and make a spring statement. You know, Rachel Reeves, remember, I'm very close to Rachel Reeves, and I've got a lot of time. You know, I met Rachel when she was about 18 and a half. She was brilliant then. And but they stand up and say things, and then the opposition stand up and want to talk about nonsense. Absolute arrant nonsense. Kemi Badenoch never, or what's his name, the geezer that's opposite to Rachel Reeves, the shadow chancellor. He's an intelligent bloke. He was one of the better Tory MPs. But there's no real challenge. There's no real, yes, but why are you doing it? All it is knocking. You shouldn't have done that. We wouldn't have done that. You stopped the Rwanda scheme that was going to save it. There's no proof that Rwanda was ever going to work for immigration, but they're still banging on about it. That's old history. It's not. Stop talking about it. When are they going to challenge Albania? When are they going to challenge Albania and what people are saying about... Well, they're not going to send them to Rwanda. What we do now is we do a deal with Europe and we send them to Albania.
Here, Alf. They're all here, Alf. They're all here now. The numbers have gone up since this time last year.
No. And you get that wrong as well. 24,000 they've just announced? 24,000 people seeking asylum have been sent home? Don't talk the nonsense. 15,000 people come over in boats. 24,000 people get sent home because they shouldn't be in the UK. You have to take it all into account. You can't take one little bit and say, oh, there's a problem. There's still more people coming over in boats. And they've just had that conference yesterday and the day before or whenever it was with people from around the world.
Yeah,
it's not even just Europe now. How many was it? 46 countries around the world. Everybody now understands that this immigration movement is a worldwide issue. It's not just America and Mexico. It's not just the UK and a few boat people. It's not just, Greece and people coming across from North Africa. It's not any of that. It's the whole lot collectively. We have a world movement of people because we don't do enough to make it safe and prosperous enough for people to stay in their own countries.
Yeah, Tim.
Yeah, well, I think, Alfie, of the era that, which you mentioned there, I mean, you must recall the time when cabinet ministers and their opposite numbers would be sort of wheeled onto television shows and give their profound views and be taken relatively seriously, mostly because, I mean, a lot of those people back in those days had a little bit of a lineage of World War II and they could come out of all this stuff and they had some integrity. And the quality of people in Parliament as we speak, who might provide a viable sort of opposition, is not there. And are people listening to those sorts of things anyway? Because what they're doing, what most people are doing, especially younger people, is going onto various social media networks and podcasts and so on, and getting a skewed, sort of algorithm-driven view of what each political party or which policies apply. No longer do we get these stalwart, august members of our political bodies being wheeled before us. Where's the opposition coming from? It'll come from the podcasters, the sort of driven algorithms that...
It's certainly not coming from the it's certainly not coming from the BBC, who are biased.
Yeah.
And I think that when I want to watch the news now, I either turn onto ITV, Channel 4, or Sky News, because it's not biased.
Yeah.
I think they're all biased.
Channel 4 certainly got it, so an angle. Of that 24,000 you said that were repatriated last year, 17,000 of them were voluntary.
A lot of people.
Half of them who just went back home, and the other half because they got that £3,000. So actually, compulsory sent back is only about 7,000.
No, I never said compulsory. Well, I said right. People well, returned no, to their homes.
Keir Starmer implied that it was.
Well, irrespective of what Starmer implied, if that's the case, why didn't the opposition challenge what he said?
All right.
But and there was no challenge.
Immigration is human. Part of being human, we've always immigrated. Most of us here, our ancestors came from somewhere else. I don't mean in Spain, but in the UK. We talked about the Danes earlier and the Vikings, yep. and before that, the Saxons and Angles. That's just the UK. And the UK is...
And the Romans and the French.
I mean, why are they here? Because you were there kind of thing. But it's part of being human to immigrate. The problem now is mobility is much easier because now you can get around the world in less than a day, and it's become... But the people who are trying to emigrate, they're not leaving a nice, comfortable, middle-class lifestyle with a couple of cars or a swimming pool and risking their lives to cross the Atlantic to get to the Canary Islands or to get across the Channel. They're there because wherever they were before was so desperate. And the only real solution is to make those places less desperate, and that's a long way off. I don't even see any kind of muscle to try and do anything about that.
But there is... There is.
Yeah,
you know, unless I'm mistaken, Trump just made the biggest contribution to that ever by withdrawing all the American aid. You cannot imagine how many of those people stay in those countries because American aid is available. You withdraw the aid and you make it worse.
Yeah,
that's... You know, people will be driven away. They'll be driven away by more poverty and more, you know, no food and no future and no help and no nothing.
I broadly agree with that. But if you take some... Let's say you are one of those people and you're in some... Let's say in the UK's case, let's say you're in Albania or some such place. Why can't you just get onto a Wizz Air flight and whiz yourself into Heathrow and get off the plane and be a legitimate... Why do you have to go to France and pay huge amounts of money to people called traffickers? The reason is because you want to enter the country illegally and you want to remain there for as long as you choose to remain there.
Yeah.
And that is what's happening. And economic migrancy, which one can largely understand, is given the green flag by putting people up in various hotels and whatever, rather than flying them straight back to where they came from, which should happen immediately.
But it's also easier for the media to point at something tangible, like a rubber boat crossing the Channel, and say, this is our problem. And yet, if you talk to anybody who deals with immigration, there are more people attempting to enter the UK on planes and ships. You put all these rubber boats together, then that's like about, I think it's something like two months worth of people trying to come in illegally, or however you want to term it, by plane or by ship. And the problem always is you don't process these people quick enough, and you don't turn around the people who shouldn't be here. So where's border control?
Are you trying to state that most people who are wishing to enter the UK are the largest number wishing to enter any country? That's question number one, which I think could be probable. But the second point is that when you discuss immigration, there are certain rules to apply. When there is a refugee fleeing war, that is unquestionable, and they come under a different banner. Economic migrants should not be permitted. But let's just wind the clock back very quickly. You go back to colonial times, and, you know, obviously some of us, most of us were not alive at that time, but mostly the colonial powers handed over the countries in a reasonable state of order.
And what happened over the years is consecutive bad politics, corruption, where local people were given the power to rule themselves, and in the end they abused it. And then who suffer? The people suffer. The people don't want to stay in those countries. They want to go to a richer country and make their life better. And most of us, a lot of people in the United Kingdom, myself included, four or five generations back, you know, somebody came here and made a life. And no one can knock anybody for doing that. But sadly, it's overcrowded and there's only so much money to go around. And therefore, it's got to stop unless it is a refugee-based request.
Quick,
I wasn't saying that. That's my take on it.
There seems the viewpoint is biased today. There's too much right wingism. Apparently, are we doing too much right wingism?
No.
And I'm not promoting the view that Britain should have open borders either. I know it's far from it. And when you say, you know, about fleeing war, that's not always the case either, is it? People escaping from Afghanistan aren't escaping from a war. That is a big issue. It's huge issue. The number of Afghans who are coming over in the rubber boats is increased because we didn't allow them to come out, even though they'd worked for the British Armed Forces. What about the people in Syria who are not, you know, you might have something going on where you don't like the leader and the leader might be dumping on his people, but it's not a war. Yeah, and ISIS created a war, and so people were allowed to leave. Why were they allowed to leave? It wasn't our war, and it wasn't anybody else's war. People from Mali trying to escape a country that everybody said was great. Zimbabwe used to be called
the basket or garden of Africa
until Mugabe then decided to strip it because they attacked the white farmers. And then the first thing they find out is that they can't exist as an organisation without the white farmers. But then the political, with a big P, immigration issue is that the black people want the land, so therefore you've got to get rid of the white farmers. You're now seeing it again. It's re-risen again in South Africa. What happened in South Africa, everybody goes, oh, well, what happens is that the control went back to the black population, mainly to the Zulu tribe, or wherever they were, and the people that wanted to leave, people that wanted to escape, the people who were being pressured to leave, were the Asians.
Right, okay.
You know, there were thousands, millions of Asians in South Africa. Loads of them left for Australia, for New Zealand, for Canada, for England. You name it, they escaped because they were being prosecuted. But it's not a war zone.
Yeah, Alf, the line is breaking up, and I've got 20 minutes of viewpoint left.
Can I just add that, when I had to apply for residencia in Spain, I mean, they asked me a series of very, very difficult questions. I mean, I have to be fully covered in medical terms. You know, I'm not going to cost them anything.
Fully covered in what exactly?
And fully covered in financial wherewithal sufficient to support myself and others. And you know, I thought they were going to ask me the colour of my underpants for one, you know, at one point, because they were very thorough, and I have the right to remain, if that's the right way to put it, for however long I choose, rather than the 90-day limit. But I had to go through those hoops to meet the criteria that were stipulated by the Spanish government. Every nation state, a sovereign state, should apply policy which does not cause civil disturbance to its own indigenous population. Unfortunately, the UK's got that completely wrong. They're failing.
Correct.
They're not correcting themselves either. Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks very much for that call.
Talk to the Swedes.
Thanks very. Hey, what?
Talk to the Swedes.
Okay. Other root vegetables are available. Thank you, Alf, for that one. Good to have you with us as always.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the wing fencing anniversary.
Yeah, the wing fencing.
Thank you.
Now.
Thank you, Kieran. Right then. Alf, of course, there. Let's have a look at. I'm going to get a quick break in at this point, and then back as we go into the last 15 minutes of this morning's viewpoint. Cool. I'm asking the question, do you think that US tariffs will have a negative effect on the global economy? At the moment,
We have 93% who are saying 93% are saying yes, 1% say no, or 6% don't know at the moment. So 9527 84000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. With you for the next 15 minutes or so before Stephen Ritson takes over.
I'm Giles today. Did you know that listening to Let's Talk can make you interested in things perhaps you never even wondered about before?
Some of the biggest companies in Britain were run and owned by Quakers. Lloyds Bank, for example, Clark's Shoes, and Cadbury itself.
Views and historic milestones that will open a new perspective on the world around you.
The West threw billions and billions of dollars in private investment, in government money, trying to make a market economy out of Russia.
Join me, Giles Brown, on Let's Talk weekdays from 10 a.m, except Tuesdays, here on Talk Radio Europe, for a distinct look on life.
In some ways, inequality is inbuilt into the universe. What we should be caring about is unfairness more than inequality.
Let's Talk is brought to you by ULEZ Prosperity. Let ULEZ Prosperity make the most of your money whilst you enjoy your new life in the sun. ULEZProsperity.com.
Talk Radio Europe.
Viewpoint is brought to you by St. James Global Private Clients, protecting your assets and growing your wealth. StJamesGlobal.com.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
And we're back. 9-5. So if you want to get into the last 14 minutes of this morning's Viewpoint, looking at some of the WhatsApps coming in here. Good morning to Rubina. Interesting, we are paying for our ancestors' mistakes. Yes. Okay, now that's one coming in. Meanwhile, yes, you could fit a bus in that gap. Well, you could have put a Clapham Junction station in that gap we just had a minute ago. Right then, dearie me, UK immigration numbers are tiny in global terms. The UK is not overcrowded. It's utter bull proverbial. And looking at some other bits coming in, I'm sure many people escaping persecution, such as the people left behind in Afghanistan who helped the British forces, would love to get on a quote-unquote Wizz Air flight. Perhaps your guests could explain how they would achieve this. 9527 84000 is the phone number. Other airlines are available.
They are. And, flights are available. That's the fact of it. And
if you're stuck in Afghanistan trying to get out of Syria.
I think to men, a Wizz Air flight is cheaper than trying to pay gangs to get across the
exactly
channel. Yeah, it was a commercial point.
Not if you want to get involved. You're at 9527 84000 is the phone number if you want to get going. The poll of polls at the moment, is saying the following. Asking if US tariffs will have a negative effect on the global economy. Yes, 93%. No, 1%. Don't knows are at 6% if you want to get involved with and put your thoughts down on the poll of polls. These are the poll of polls on the poll, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And Dr. Jerry Hagen just pointing out to me that maybe it's my technical department. Morning, Eamon. Maybe they're having an April Fool on me. Was that an April Fool, Eamon? You can speak. It's all right. I don't mind if you say hello to the listeners. Because it wasn't. No. You see, the whole thing, what you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, and whatever else you're identifying as at the moment, and I can assure you, I was identifying as several different things, none of them publishable on this thing. But the real power behind the throne here at TRE, the man who makes us look seamless, Mary Carmen and Eamon, who are working tirelessly. So when you say, I can't hear you, or, you know, you guys should get your thing together. Well, I can assure you that they work tirelessly and with very little fanfare. So there you go. Thank you very much. That was an interesting little April Fool's moment, wasn't it, panel? Right then, the polls, 93% say yes, and tariffs will have a negative effect.
1% say no, and 6% of you are importing your aluminium, or however you want to put it, at the moment. Joined in the studio by Tim Stafford and Dr. Jerry Hagen. And Rex, I think I will leave Rex to his longboat. Not his longboat, you know what I mean. Leave him to his boat as we go into the last 10 minutes of the show this morning. Looking at some of the other bits and pieces coming in. So get a Wizz Air flight and pass immigration with no visa, as the airline won't allow you on, even if you are seeking asylum. Looking at some of the, so what we're going to do now, we're going to take a quick break and then back with the, what will be the final, 10 minutes or so of viewpoints. Into the last 7 minutes of viewpoint. If you want to get involved with today's show,
to contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed. Changing the polls. Negative effects on the global economy. 94% say yes. 1% no, 5% don't know. You've got 6 minutes to get yourselves in there. Just a quick thank you again to St. James Global Private Clients, who are the sponsors of Viewpoint, with over 40 years experience of specialising in protecting and preserving global wealth. As a British expat, are you worried about the recent changes to UK taxes and the impact on your UK assets, etc.? For expert financial advice, for investments against wealth, capital gains and inheritance tax, for expert financial advice, for Spanish tax residents, and to maximise your retirement income, contact St. James Global Private Clients at info@stjamesglobal.com. So St. James Global, protecting your assets and growing your wealth. To the WhatsApps, does anyone else think that the more ridiculous political proclamations are just a smoke and mirrors exercise? The really important stuff is probably happening while we're looking the other way. Panel, 5 minutes. Is it smoke and mirrors? Is it a dead cat? Do you think they're going, look at the shiny thing over there? Whilst, I mean, look at this whole situation with the group chat, for example, which seems to have gone very quiet, considering it was supposed to be, they were talking about bombing the Houthis.
I can't understand why all of this is sort of pre security leaks and so on, which you've just had a reminder of from Hegseth and co. But that I can't understand why so much information is given out, not necessarily prior, but around the event. Who's using which weapons and when and what they're likely to do at the next stage? It's sort of independent reporting of a kind, but very often it's information that's given out by those who formerly, in recent years, in past years, would not have done so. So smoke and mirrors, and what is true and what isn't, it's becoming ever more difficult to work out what the truth actually is, because news sources don't really exist in full form, and there are little contributions that come firing in from whichever angle, depending on what your viewpoint prefers.
I think the guy from The Atlantic must have been telling the truth, because his detail was quite clear and quite precise, and they haven't denied the detail. Well, yeah, actually they did say it was all made up, and then they realised it wasn't, and etc., etc., and he was able to give the list of all the people who were on the group chat. They use a system called Signal, which is kind of like WhatsApp. That is not a high security thing. I know it's end-to-end encryption, but a sophisticated country like, say, Iran or something could easily find a way to break that and listen in. And they could then warn the Houthis, because they had details of how they're going to strike, before they're going to strike. That risks lives of the pilots, because they may be flying into a trap. It was done by the US, apparently, according to the US, but in fact they had to be refueled by RAF planes to be able to do that, so the RAF were involved as well, but that was never mentioned in the group chat, so like keep the Brits out of it.
Isn't it just a bit sort of sort of fifth form frat boy go USA and emojis and explosion and fist bump. And I mean, this is, you know, people lost their lives. I mean, you, because, you know, those who were at the receiving end of you know, high explosive ordnance. And so that there's no, there was, yeah, it was just a little bit sort of, go USA. I'm going to go to the lines quickly because this could be the last call we get in just briefly. Morning, caller, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Charles, Peter again.
Hi, Peter.
Hi. In answer to the question one of your panel just posed, is the information that goes out, that why do they give out this information when, or the other way around, was it the suppressed information? The thing is, now we live in a digital age and it's very easy for people to get a knowledge of what's going on, even looking through what governments are doing when they're trying to hide it. And I'll give you a great example here, because I've got a feeling this is the big next big thing that's about to happen. And as for saying, look at the shiny thing over there, when we should be looking at that. Do you know the island of Diego Garcia?
Yep,
where the military base is. UK military.
Part of the group, yeah.
Yeah, well, and that's leased to the Americans at the moment. Well, there's a couple of sites. I mentioned that amazing sortie that the Israelis flew out over Iran and back and did what they did. And now you go down that rabbit hole and things pop up on YouTube. Well, so the last few days, it's been the Iranian New Year, the Noritz, I think it's called, and the Shah of Iran's son, who's not been back there for 46 years, is surfacing and saying how we need to become more westernized and speak with the Israelis and get rid of the terrorists. At the same time, we have this problem up the Red Sea there. Now, if you track the ships and the planes and everything, there's two US carriers going out there. The Vincent is surrounded by artillery that is ready for war.
Yeah, Peter, we've got 1 minute of the show left, so...
Okay,
yeah.
Well, the distance to Tehran from the Chagos Islands is enough for a B-2 bomber to get out there and get back again. Those B-2 bombers have just gone out to the Chagos Island. There's a special hangar out there for them, so because they fly under the radar to protect their skins. So at the moment, the B-2s are going out of there, the artillery's going down there, so Tehran is ready to be... They're ready to attack Tehran, that's for sure. So there's the big shiny moment.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Okey-doke.
Take care. Going to the last few minutes of this morning's viewpoint, the final adjudication on the poll this morning. I was posing the questions, do you think the new US tariffs will have a negative effect on the global economy? 94% said yes, 1% said no, and 5% didn't know. Almost out of time. It has been my pleasure and privilege to bring you this morning's viewpoint. My thanks to Rex Leyland, cut short because of a small technical problem, but also to my guest today, Tim Stafford.
Oh, thank you, Charles. A pleasure, as always.
And Dr. Jerry Hagan.
Thank you. Great show again.
Well, something like that. Anyway, happy 1st of April to you all. This show will be repeated at 7 o'clock. Stephen Ritson is up next.
Views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.